Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Planet Zork. And the star of the show is Zorg the Mighty, conqueror of the puny planet called the Earth. What's up, Zorg?
Hi.
So, Zorg, tell us what is your opinion of this Anthony Weiner thing. I mean, come on, what the hell?
Well, this is a man who exercised very poor judgment in so many ways.
But is this a psychological problem that we're dealing with here?
No, obviously he does have a legitimate problem. I don't think the 2 weeks of treatment that he says he's receiving are going to help. I think that he needs something like a little more profound than that. And ultimately, and this is just my belief and the belief of, you know, a lot of mental health professionals, of which I'm not one, he needs to change his behavior because it's a behavioral issue ultimately. It really is. It's like, you know, does sexting young girls get you into trouble and cost you your job and possibly your marriage? Well, then stop sexting young girls.
But how could somebody be so stupid?
It's not... Sometimes your impulses will override your reason, and that's obviously what happened with Congressman Weiner. I personally have never liked Congressman Weiner, although, you know, I live in his district and he's represented the district very well. But I've never liked him because of his antics on the House floor. I always thought he was like, you know, I'm sorry, dude, you come across as an obnoxious Jew. You just do.
Well, I heard that he wasn't well liked even among the Democrats.
No, nobody really liked him, but he had a very big following among the ardent members of the left wing of the Democratic Party. So it was like, you know, who's going to complain about that if you're a Democrat?
Yeah, I mean, he had kind of the same kind of profile as Alan Grayson, you know, very fiery on the stump there.
Yeah. And you know, he appealed to people who believe in the concept of social justice and shit like that. You know, he appealed to those people, and there's a lot of them out there who kind of confuse lawmaking with social justice. And, you know, so he did very well for himself. And let's not forget, he had a powerful mentor in now Senator Charles Schumer, who mentored him and brought him up through the ranks.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of just came out of college and went into politics, right?
Basically, yeah. He's been in politics for 20 years, and he's not. It's not like he's an old man. He's young. But his sense of judgment was very poor, of course. We all know this now. But I think what irritated people after the news broke was his defiant and arrogant attitude, because he had several opportunities to come clean or to come up with like a real excuse. He was interviewed by CBS and ABC, both of whom had the intention of softballing him as much as you could. And he was defiant. He was arrogant. He was rude. He called the CBS line producer a liar. You know, things like this don't endear you to the media, no matter how left-wing the media may be. They're going to drop you like a fucking hot potato when you start calling them liars and sons of bitches and shit like that. So the only media wing that was kind of Weiner neutral, that was basically saying, well, let's see what happened, was Fox News.
Yeah. Well,
the ones that were saying, well, nobody knows what happened. All we know is that, you know, there was this leak, and some people are saying that they can read the tags on the sent letter or the sent picture, and it says this, but other people say something else, you know, so let's see what happens. But even they, in their op-eds, commented on his arrogance and lack of grace, and said that, that, you know, regardless of whether he was guilty or innocent, that that ultimately that would bring him down.
Did you believe he was guilty?
Did I believe he was guilty? Yes, but I suspended judgment. I never made a statement to the effect that, that I thought he was guilty because I thought it wouldn't be fair to the congressman. And, you know, let's be real. Sometimes weird things do happen.
Yeah, but the one when I heard that, you know, the idea, whenever somebody says that my Twitter's been hacked, it's usually a lie.
Well, no, it's always a lie. You can do exploits on Twitter, Facebook, and Google and use them. And that's, in fact, what his defenders were claiming. He never said that. But, like, what's-his-name, Cannon, still says that that his Twitter account was accessed via an exploit in the picture holding file, and of course we know that that's not true because Wiener confessed.
Yeah, I mean he still maintains it even though Wiener confessed. That makes no sense. But
what he's saying, what he says, is that that Wiener cut a deal with Nancy Pelosi to make a fake confession and just get out of there.
No way.
Like, dude, give it up. You were wrong. Admit you were wrong. That's just crazy talk. Like that's like President Bush blew up the World Trade Center.
Yeah, yeah, it's ridiculous.
But I think a few things. He wouldn't have confessed if he hadn't been told in advance. My understanding is someone at Fox leaked this to him, and it was leaked to Fox by Breitbart, who kind of wanted to do Wiener a favor. He basically said there's like way more shit coming out. So if you could like let him know, and they told him, you know, one of these women has an interview scheduled with, at the time it was just ABC, but then she subsequently did an interview with Hannity that Tuesday. But if he had not confessed, he would have been greeted by a very ugly interview on ABC.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
And a few other things. The question, is it hard? Yes, it's hard. He got his dick hard and then pushed it down, and he should have worked it up just like, you know, not quite that much if he wanted people to think he has a big dick, which, just as a by the way, he does not.
How did he make it look so big? I actually didn't really look at it, but I heard.
It's called photographic perspective. Do you really think his dick is bigger than his leg?
Oh, I see. He got the fisheye going.
Yeah, and he's done this before, because, like, I don't know if you've seen the picture. Have you seen the picture?
The one that Breitbart didn't want to show?
The one that Breitbart didn't show, and Opie and Anthony, like,
yeah.
They photographed it off his phone using surveillance equipment and published it.
What is it?
It's Wiener's wiener.
But describe it. It's actually his bear cock?
Yeah, it's his bear cock hard.
Oh, Christ. And he wanted to stay? And how the fuck was he expecting to stay with his bear cock on a picture?
Well, I don't think he expected people to release his bear dick picture. I really
what?
Think... This is just me, and you know, anything you say that you feel is contrary to my opinion, please tell me. But I really think that his arrogance was so great because he's a Democrat, a left-wing Democrat in a hardcore blue state. He felt, even if the media turns against me, I've still got the voters, and they'll be behind me. And you know what? A lot of them still are. Lots of people felt when he resigned that he was doing the wrong thing.
Oh, I know, and he would have gotten he would get reelected here if the Democratic Party ever let him run again.
I actually don't think he would have been reelected, and there are questions about his district anyway. Like,
it might go away.
They're doing, you know, they're redistricting here. So depending on how they blur districts, that might not even be an issue.
Yeah, he might be redistricted out altogether.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, it was probably one of the more bizarre stories, and particularly like the media loved it. It was like all we talked about for so long. Meanwhile, like the sky is falling.
But it provided us with some great puns. Great headline, Wiener pulls out. and also, it's like, you went into politics. Why didn't you change your name? Like, first, his name isn't Wiener, it's Weiner. It's W-E-I-N-E-R. Weiner and Wiener are both German names, Germanic names. Wiener means someone from Vienna. I don't know what, Weiner, I guess, means someone from wine. And they're pronounced Wiener and Weiner in German. And what I would have done if I were Anthony Wiener, rather than like letting people, you know, and Weiner is just as bad as Wiener, so you might as well be Wiener. But I would have gone to the original pronunciation of my name, Weiner, and changed the spelling to phonetically reflect that.
Okay, yeah, there you go. I mean, that would have been true to form.
It's too late now because people are always going to remember him for cock shots.
He's doomed. I mean, what can he do now? I guess do TV, right? Maybe.
Come on, Elliot Spitzer has a lucrative job as a fucking political analyst.
Yeah, but there are no pictures of his cock out there. I mean, I don't know. That does a lot. That's a lot.
What he did was arguably worse. He spent most likely taxpayer money on whores.
Yeah, yeah. But
Wiener was guilty of poor judgment. Elliot Spitzer was guilty of being a whoremonger. And he wasn't just like a congressman. He was the fucking governor.
I know, man. Well, you know, like the I heard that he was set up by bankers.
By, you know, like, you mean Jews?
by the NWO, man, the New World Order.
There's always code for the Jews, right?
Is it? I guess they stopped calling them.
Yeah. When you hear guys like Ron Paul talking about how bankers like control the flow of wealth and you know are kingmakers and all of that, he means Jews.
So anybody who's talking about the Illuminati, is that they mean Jews too?
Anybody who talks about the Illuminati?
Yeah.
No, but I can bet you that they're anti-Semites.
Or they think the Jews are involved somehow.
Well, first, let's be real about it. The Jews are involved.
So not a myth that the Jews run the world?
When you talk about bankers and people, you know, kind of understand that to mean Jews, there's a reason for that. It doesn't come out of a vacuum.
I see. But do you have any belief in these, like the Masonic, you know, all that masonry bullshit that was depicted in the movie Angels and Demons?
Conspiracy, like in Da Vinci Code or the Illuminatus trilogy or Foucault's Pendulum? No, that's crazy.
Or like did you read Behold a Pale Horse?
The what?
Behold a Pale Horse. Oh,
no, I never read Behold a Pale Horse, although it's a nice name.
Well, it was you know, referring to one of the apocalypse, or something out of the apocalypse. But
Pale Horse with a Pale Rider, and his name was Death, yeah.
Yes. Well, this guy, he wrote a book called Behold a Pale, and he basically details, like, the whole, you know, it probably matches up with the Illuminatus trilogy in terms of theory. And, of course, there's this whole school of thought that has grown up. Alex Jones is one of the major current proponents of it. It's pretty ridiculous.
No, it's insane. And there are no, like, conspiracies as we know them to dominate the world. You know, not as we would define conspiracies and not as conspiracy theorists would define conspiracies. There are, you know, I guess you could say there are just de facto conspiracies, like, you know, let's elevate this lowly Chicago Congress alderman to the office of the presidency. But that's not a conspiracy. That's a plan.
Oh, who's alderman?
President Obama.
His name is his real name is Alderman?
No, he held the office of Alderman briefly.
Oh. Oh, because there's like some weird thing about how I've heard that his real name isn't Barack Obama. So I mean, there's like,
no,
I guess
you know what that's about. He briefly changed his name during his mother's second marriage to reflect his stepfather's last name. His stepfather adopted him, so he totally had the right to do that. And he changed his name to Barry Sawito.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I heard. His name was Barry or something.
Well, yeah, he was Barry for a long time. But he ultimately decided that, you know, being Barack Obama would probably be like, you know, that would be a more distinctive name.
Oh, at Harvard, dude, you just get your dick sucked with a name like that.
Yeah, well, he did get his dick sucked at Harvard with a name like that.
There you go. It's just funny to just this whole like thing that's cropped up where there's really this feeling that I think that there is some kind of conspiracy, but it's more economic. Like there's like these entities that are so big that they're almost bigger than the governments that house them.
That's kind of what I meant when I said a de facto conspiracy, but it's not really a conspiracy.
It's out in the open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the way things work.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, maybe the modern times though has given very wealthy entities the power to amass like wealth at a higher rate than it ever has. You know, like they're running away with the ball. Which could lead to undemocratic results.
What? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the last several things that you said. What?
Oh, I was saying that there is this problem that certain large economic entities, like the oil companies, for example, like there seems to be some collusion going on, like in terms of the pricing of oil, but like there's no way that we could ever figure that out at this point because they're just too powerful.
There's so many factors involved in what oil costs that it's really difficult to point a finger one way or another. Certainly there's like a level of control over the prices, but I don't think that the large oil companies like have as much to do with it as, say, OPEC countries or the stability or lack thereof in certain parts of the world at any given time.
I see, yeah.
You noticed that the price of oil went down significantly when Osama bin Laden got killed.
Yeah. Did you think that, now they're actually pulling troops out of Afghanistan, so it looks like they're trying
to
align.
Well, we will be pulling troops out of Afghanistan. I believe that President Obama is going to announce this evening an endgame plan, which will begin with the withdrawal of 10,000 troops over the course of the year 2012. But that still leaves, 30,000 troops there.
So, yeah, who do you like in the presidential contest here? Who's your guy?
Among current Republicans who have declared candidacy?
Yeah.
That would be Michelle Bachmann.
I knew, that's funny, man. She's really running away with the ball here. Everybody loves her. But, I mean...
Well, Mitt Romney is still the front runner.
Yeah.
And Newt Gingrich is still considered a front runner, but let's be real, Newt Gingrich's entire staff deserted him.
yeah, no.
And they did it, it's astonishing. They did it because they apparently gave him a list of demands on what they wanted him to change about his campaign. And he said, no, fuck you, it's my campaign, which is his right. It's like he's running as a Republican. Don't try to make him change into a Democrat. You know, if you want to like be on the staff of a Democrat running for the presidency, go be on the staff of a Democrat.
So they were basically telling him to get more liberal.
They were basically telling him to change his focus on issues, not so much as to get more liberal. But that usually is what that means. Mitt Romney is like. A recognizable front runner, but I think that they're, for one thing, he committed what I see as like almost an unpardonable gaffe by referring to himself as unemployed.
He also believes in global warming.
Well, plenty of people believe in global warming, although our president is not one of them.
Barack Obama doesn't believe in global warming?
When have you last heard him use the term?
Or climate change?
The ravages of climate change. That's not global warming.
Well, there is a significant shift that has occurred. I mean, we are having more violent weathers.
Doesn't necessarily have anything to do with global warming, and a large part of that is perception bias, which is confirmed by enhanced media access. That doesn't exist. That's made up. As far as what we can measure, we seem to be in a global cooling phase.
Okay, but I mean, like, all these levees being breached, and you're just saying that's the availability heuristic at work?
No. Levees are man-made.
Right.
Levees being breached has nothing to do with, like, global warming, and even if it did, I would have to know the mechanism. Let's say global warming is a reality. Let's say that the polar ice caps are melting. Is that going to cause floods?
Well, it does. They're saying that one of the results is more, because there's more water being evaporated into the atmosphere, there's going to be more rainfall.
Well, but have you ever, like, mixed a drink?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you put ice in your drink?
Yeah.
You put ice in your drink first, yeah?
Yeah.
Then you pour the liquids in, right?
Right.
Have you ever let your drink sit after filling it to the brim with ice and liquids?
Yeah.
You forget it's there because you're in a conversation?
Yeah.
Does it run over?
No.
Okay.
No, but we're not saying that the more water is falling, just that there are more rainfalls total because there's more water in the atmosphere.
But there isn't more rainfall total. There's no hard data to support that, just like basically people saying that they notice it's raining a lot where they live.
Well, but do you deny that the polar ice caps are going down?
The polar ice caps fluctuate in size and density over long periods of time. You have to understand that technically we are in what is referred to as an ice age.
No, okay. Look, man, that's fine. I just was trying to get your responses to those issues that we could move on from there. But,
just to clear it up for our listeners who think, oh, he's cracked. An ice age just means that there's ice on the poles.
Okay. So your candidate would be Michelle Bachmann for president.
And you asked me, out of the current field of people who have declared their candidacy in the Republican Party, and I'd have to say you got to rule Mitt Romney out.
What about Huntsman? Looks good.
Yeah, Huntsman is a late arrival and is a possibility. Kerry, I don't believe, has declared his candidacy yet, so we can't count.
Well, if he were in, what would you think about him?
I would think that Perry would be a very strong candidate. But he hasn't. We're not talking about people who haven't declared their candidacies.
Right.
At least I'm not. Because then you can do coulda, woulda, shoulda all day long. We can only go with the current field of people who have declared their candidacies. And I got to say that even as bad as the economy is, and it's not going to get fixed by election time, I'd still, if I were a betting man, I'd have to give Barack Obama the edge in an election. It's just the way it is. He's the incumbent, and if he's got a good spin team working for him, he can deflect a lot of the arguments about the economy and basically just blame his predecessors for, he can't blame him for everything because then people will realize what he's doing. But, you know, he can say, I inherited a bad deal and, you know, it only looks like it's worse. It's really going to get better. And that will deflect a lot of shit. The problem is, for Barack Obama, he won the presidency not by rallying Democrats to him or converting Republicans. He won the office by getting independent voters and voters in swing states, and by mobilizing groups of Democrats who normally wouldn't have voted, young people who are notoriously apathetic. The question is going to be, can his team get that done this time around? Can they actually, like, mobilize the groups of people who normally stay at home but, you know, would probably vote Democratic? And can they get the swing votes in swing states from otherwise independent voters? And I think they're going to lose a lot of those. But I would still, at this point, have to give President Obama a slight edge in any election, regardless of who his Republican opponent might be.
Well, I thought he was going to get crushed because of the last election. And the reason, the only thing that really seemed to bring him back was this whole Medicare argument.
No, there's lots of things. His approval rating is still, like, it's still low. I mean, especially when you compare it to the approval rating of a George W. Bush at this stage in his tenure, where it was, like, over 84%. But he's still the incumbent. And with incumbency, unless you've shown absolute incompetence, which he's not, then voters will generally give you the benefit of the doubt and say, let's stick with this guy's plan as opposed to this guy's plan, which is nebulous.
So you don't agree with Trump that he's the worst president we've ever had?
Oh, no, no. He's nowhere near the worst president we've ever had. He's not a good president on some levels, but he's nowhere near the worst president we ever had. Within my lifetime, all you have to do is look at Jimmy Carter. He fucked up foreign policy and domestic issues. Barack Obama only has problems with the economy, really, if you want to actually look at it. His problem is the fucking economy. He's made it a lot worse. But his foreign policy, I don't think too many people other than, like, hardcore leftists can criticize him for it.
Uh-huh.
Carter created a situation in the Middle East that remains to this day.
What do you mean? How did he do that?
He cut the Shah loose, which left the mullahs in charge in Iran and contributed to instability in the region. And his administration had the CIA stop paying hush money to the radical mullahs because they were for years we had been paying the mullahs money to just, like, stay in their own little cliques and preach jihad to their own little groups of people with no real thoughts of expansion or thoughts of an Arab Spring or anything like that. And when Jimmy Carter found out about it, he thought that this was, like, morally reprehensible and ordered funding to be cut.
So he was too much of a trying to be a purist.
Yeah, I never said he wasn't a good man. I said he was a bad president.
Well, he was probably not suited to the job, given his values or whatever. I mean,
I will say, though, he's the best educated president we had. He's the only president we've had who was actually a nuclear physicist.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, he had, you know, he was more of an idealist, and maybe that's just not what we needed at that time.
We didn't need an idealist at that time. We needed someone who could. He inherited a minor recession from Gerald Ford, which snowballed into a major recession, and that wasn't Ford's fault. You know, that was Carter's fault. The Ford recession was cyclical. Carter's economic measures were just, like, so short-sighted that he made things much worse than they were.
But, I mean, really, like, he would have cruised to victory if it weren't for the Iran-Contra thing. The Iran hostage. He would have cruised towards victory if it wasn't for that hostage thing.
That's absolutely made up. There was no way he was going to win an election long before that ever happened, and there was no conspiracy over that.
Well, I'm not saying there was a conspiracy. I mean, there is some evidence, but whatever. We'll say, let's just say, though, that
you think that's what made him so unpopular, that he lost, like, almost every state? No.
Well, it didn't help, but yeah.
It didn't help. it was a setback, but ultimately, it's the economy. It always is. And Jimmy Carter, like, forget his foreign policy, he destroyed the economy, and it took Ronald Reagan a solid year and a half to come close to rebuilding it.
Well, you could argue that all that Ronald Reagan did was inflate a bubble that popped, but as did Clinton.
And get into, like, complex economic theories as to, you know, such as what is money?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're saying he's not the worst president, you're also saying, I mean, what do you think about the Bin Laden thing? I mean, don't you think that helps him?
What do I think about what?
The Bin Laden capture. How does that serve?
Bin Laden? Do I think that helps Barack Obama?
Yeah.
I think it. What's funny is it didn't really give him an immediate boost in the polls. It gave him kind of a late boost in the polls. I think that, I'll preface this by saying, you know, all credit to the Obama administration and to everyone involved for getting Osama bin Laden. But everyone is aware that the intel for this is Bush-era intel, and we've been working on it for several years. It's not like, oh, we found out about this 3 weeks ago, so we built this, like, this model of the complex based on, like, you know, what we photographed aerially, and we had SEALs drilling in there for, like, 8 months, and we found out about this 2 weeks ago. This is something that goes back a little ways.
Oh, I know. I mean, we actually went over this, but I'm thinking, like, in terms of just, for, you know, because people don't really pay attention. They just think, like...
I mean, people pay attention to Obama. He gave full credit to the Bush administration.
Right, but even people that they don't even pay attention to him, you know? I mean, people are just, like, half-assed looking at the headlines, like, oh, he got Osama.
I think the killing of Osama bin Laden definitely didn't hurt Obama.
Well, no.
I think it gave him a slight late bump in the polls as people kind of realized the impact. I think immediately it was such a shock that bin Laden had been killed, and I think also a lot of people were skeptical about it.
Right. Well, anyway, I guess is there anything you else wanted to mention?
Well, no, other than, you know, Wiener pulled out.
Okay. All right, man, we'll talk again soon. Thanks again.
All right, have a good night.
You too, bye.